Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We are in week 2 of studying about God's grace in a series called Grace is Greater. Now, before I get rocking and rolling on this message, you know, when you arrived this morning, there were cards in your seat. So the grace that you can give Pastor Terry is, you know, pick the card up, look at it. One size says respond. And that's going to be for the latter part of the service. But today, on the front side, it says, yes, keep me informed. I'd like to get church email updates. And we try to announce a lot of information on a Sunday morning, but there's absolutely no way we can make all the announcements on a Sunday morning. So if you'd like to stay connected and get updates from us, complete the connect side. So that's side 2. The side that was facing up is the response side that'll be for later that you can write a prayer request on or you can write something else on. But these cards, yes, give me grace. Please fill them out. We've got buckets on the high top tables on the way out. You can just drop the card in there. We made it easy. So thank you for doing that. So last week, we established a baseline of prevenient grace. We learned that God's prevenient grace is the starting point of mercy, where God himself makes a way for lost and broken people. We can't come to Christ on our own. And we're dead in sin before Jesus. God acts first through his prevenient grace, and then we can respond through our repentance. But know this, you can choose to ignore, refuse, and even frustrate God's grace in your life. Life without grace. What would my life be without grace? Today, we're going to learn about life without grace. Many underestimate the greatness of grace in their own lives. I have 2 real life examples. Now, I wonder, have you ever had a deadline on a school project, a work assignment? Something came up and you needed an extension of time to complete the assignment. And your teacher or your manager said, no problem. Now, spouses, listen up. Have you ever drank the last drop of milk and find out that your spouse hasn't had their cereal and they are starving? And with kind words, they say, I will go to Food Lion and buy a half a gallon of milk. Do you need anything while I'm at the store? Now, that's grace. Yes. Now, I know that you know many times that you've experienced grace, but that's 2 times of grace. A life without grace is a life without hope. And as I was preparing for this message, I asked myself, what would my life be without God's grace? I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I put on that question just like I put on clothes. When I brush my teeth, looking in the mirror, I'm asking the question, what would my life be without God's grace? I immediately thought of 2 words, hopeless and lonely. The answer to this question became the focal point of my prayer time, studying, and writing in my prayer journal. And as I share today, I pray that you would please asked yourself, what would your life be like without God's grace? The Holy Spirit reminded me of my stinking attitude before Jesus, and that I was a selfish person. Through His grace, gently working on my heart, helping me to learn self-control over my tongue, over my thoughts, over my actions, I have experienced heart transformation. Through His grace, I have learned to live with a heart of generosity, with my hands wide open, always realizing that I am so blessed and that I can't outgive God. His grace kept me from my own destruction. His grace did not let my wild nature win out. As I processed the question, I had these thoughts, and they may be true for you. I think it's a lot easier to ask God for grace for me personally rather than His grace for that person who has wronged me. I mean, they deserve what they're getting. They don't deserve God's grace. Does that sound familiar? And does that statement resonate with you? I mean, it resonated with me. God's grace enables us to pursue peace with all, even the most contrary. God's grace is available to all. Grace comforts our failures, our bad habits, and shame, not with condemnation, but with forgiveness and a path to freedom. We'll have two passages today, one found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And the scriptures will be on the screens. Hebrews 12, 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Missing the grace of God is poisonous to our lives, to our family, friends, and the wider world. A person without grace has bitterness that appears as the crotchety old man or the crotchety old woman who become a self-portrait of perpetual discontent. God's grace is a free and an undeserved gift available to all people. However, you must receive the gift. And God desires to give us the gift of grace, and He wants us to give that gift of grace to others. God gives us His grace to rescue us from our bitterness. God's grace addresses our stuff, our wounds, our hang-ups by offering His forgiveness, healing, and the power to change. The seed of bitterness lives in your heart. And it's not one that you can easily see. Bitterness is a sleeper sin. It grows beneath the surface, deep down in our heart. And when the seed of bitterness takes root in our life, it grows like a weed. It suffocates our ability to be kind, compassionate, patient, and loving. It brings a harvest of pain for you and the people who are in your life. The root of bitterness is a poisonous influence It consumes our heart. Then it spreads to others. And by the root of bitterness, many are stained. Scientists have concluded that bitterness, if left unchecked, interferes with the body's hormonal and immune systems. Bitter people tend to have higher blood pressure, heart rate, and are much more likely to die of heart disease and other illnesses. After missionary Jim Elliot was killed in 1956, his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, wrote and spoke extensively about the experience. Elizabeth Elliot reflected on the unexpected way God's grace manifested in her life after her husband's death. She said, "I have always regarded the death of my husband, Jim, as the worst possible thing that could happen. But you know what? When the worst thing you could ever imagine happens, there is something that was not there in your imaginings. And that is the grace of God." Corrie ten Boom said, "Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to find out the prisoner was me." Corrie ten Boom was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp and survived. After the war, she was confronted by one of the guards from the camp. She had a choice to make when the guard asked for her forgiveness. Ten Boom knew that forgiveness is an act of the will, and she prayed for God's help. The outcome of Corrie's choice of grace, her act of choosing forgiveness, freed her from the bitterness that could have imprisoned her. Let's watch a short video about Corrie ten Boom as she shares God's grace in her life.
One of my great heroes is Corrie ten Boom. She's a Dutch Christian who hid Jews during the war. She was caught, and Corrie and her sister and her father went to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her father and her sister, Betsy, died there. She's an amazing woman, and after the war, she went and spoke to others about forgiveness. She was speaking in a church in Germany one time, and at the end of her talk, she recognized the man coming up to her, and she could see it was one of the most cruel guards from Ravensbrück. She pictured him as he was then. And as he came up to her, he said, "I was a guard at Ravensbrück." He didn't recognize her, but she knew, she recognized him. She could see him, and she remembered walking naked past him. She said she felt so cold and so angry. He said, "I've become a Christian now. I know I did some very cruel things, but I've received God's forgiveness for the cruelties I've done. And I ask God's grace for an opportunity to ask one of my very victims for forgiveness."
And there came a man to me and said, "Ah, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?" And suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel overseers, guards, in the concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom won't see me forgiven. Will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 teaches that believers are chosen by God for salvation, redeemed through the blood of Christ and included in his ultimate plan to unite all things in Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. As I mentioned earlier, throughout the week, I pondered the question, what would my life be without grace? I realized that grace didn't just improve my life, it fundamentally rewrote my story, replacing the old story of hopelessness with many new chapters filled with profound hope. Without grace, we're defined by our debt and our darkness. Grace is a rich and deep blessing. With grace, we are defined by God's glorious acceptance, lavished redemption, and ultimate unity in Christ. Ask God to show you where you need grace, to cover any bitterness that you may be harboring in your heart. It could very well be deserved, but ask him to show you. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. Our praise is to go to the glory of God. You have a testimony to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ that brought you out of darkness. The divine glory breaks through, and our hearts are lifted in praise. Accepted in the beloved, grace brings the undeserving into favor with God. Not based on anything we have done, but solely on our union with Christ, the beloved Son. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Redeemed and forgiven. Grace is the basis for our redemption, our purchase out of the slavery to sin through the shedding of Christ's blood. Deliverance with a price. We have been purchased by Jesus when he hung on the cross. This provides forgiveness of our trespasses and an unpayable debt that is fully canceled. God provided a divine plan that only by grace we have been adopted as God's children, heirs with Christ. Verses 8 and 9, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Two of the gifts which the believer receives because of God's divine grace are wisdom and insight. Overflowing with wisdom, grace reveals the mystery of God's will and provides us with all wisdom and insight into his redemptive plan. We no longer must guess at God's purpose. God speaks to the inner man, the inner woman, and in that place, you can be forgiven. You can know that you know that you know that God loves you. Verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. United in Christ. Christ uses grace. He works toward a future culmination when the fullness of time arrives and all things in heaven and on earth will be united under the headship of Christ. Often, there are dangers we fall into when it comes to grace. We forget about it, or at least we live like we do. Sometimes we don't just, you know, think about grace. We just take it for granted. We forget who we were before it. We forget our great need and his great response. When we don't actively remember the gracious work of our loving Savior, we probably are not putting on a full display of his ways in us being lived out to others. My prayer is that I may never forget who I once was. Not that I'm proud of it, because I'm not, but that I will always know that I was saved by God's grace. We are guilty of abusing it. We use grace as a tagline for sin of all kinds. I mean, people intentionally choose sin with the thought, all I have to do is ask for forgiveness and God's grace will cover my sin. Sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we say that God couldn't possibly give me grace because of what I've done or what my life has become. Or maybe you've been wronged and you're holding on to bitterness. The person who wronged you, you know, I know, they don't deserve grace. And if that is true, give it to God and choose to show grace. In the same way you've been forgiven, you can also forgive others with the power of Christ living in you. Deep gratitude and abundant praise should always be our responses to grace. And so too are good works. Good works are not a requirement for our salvation, but they should certainly be a response from our salvation. I like to tell people that the church is like an emergency room. We go to the ER because of a medical emergency. My real life analogy is when I went to the ER several years ago. I tried everything before going. A heating pad, Bengay, ice packs, sitting in a hot tub of water. I mean, finally at 3:20 a.m., I could not stand the pain any longer. I didn't get dressed up. I didn't fix my hair. I didn't even put on my red lippy. Something was seriously wrong, and I went to the hospital exactly the way I was. I didn't have to wear certain clothes, look a certain way, or get better before the hospital staff would care for me. When I arrived at the ER, I was hurting and I was in a terrible condition. I was seen by the doctor and learned that both of my bursas had ruptured. And I relied on the knowledge, compassion, and skill of the physician and nurses on duty to help me. The ER staff, they provided care to me regardless of my age, regardless of my past, or what caused my injury. Although I have a fear of needles, I desperately needed help, and I surrendered to the care of the medical staff. I received cortisone injections in both hips and was kept there for several hours to determine if the injections would relieve my pain. Such is true with anyone who arrives at the emergency room. I mean, can you imagine thinking that you needed to get better before you call 911? No, I don't think so. Nobody would do that. I mean, when you need help, you take immediate action. We don't have to get cleaned up or get better before we're seen in the ER. We are helped exactly as we are, hurt, sick, and in need of help. And friends, that's the great invitation of grace. We don't have to wait to obtain the grace of God. We simply need to respond in faith. Our condition, no matter how messy or critical, does not matter, okay? We will always be seen by a doctor. Well, such is true when you come to God in your state of brokenness with your sins, mistakes, spiritual wounds. I mean, you come just as you are. God doesn't expect you to fix it yourself first. A person receives God's grace by surrendering to the care of Jesus, the divine physician and ultimate healer. God's grace is available to everyone who seeks it. We can't save ourselves through our works. We are to trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross, which provides for our spiritual healing. And going to the emergency room or the church. People should go exactly how they are. They should not wait until they're well. Grace doesn't insist that you get cleaned up first. Grace meets you where you are. The church acts as an agent of God's grace. A patient who receives proper care in the ER, well, they're given a chance at health. Even when they may have a long road of recovery ahead, their immediate crisis has been addressed. When you accept God's grace, you receive forgiveness and a new spiritual life. This does not mean that you'll never have struggles, but it does mean that the major spiritual problem of sin and the separation of God is healed. With God's grace, a person is restored, supported, and strengthened. Are you tracking? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying, church family? I mean, the emergency room and God's grace are places of undeserved help. We come broken and hurting and are met with unconditional care, compassion, and healing. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, Pastor Terry, that's all good, but there is no way that God will give me grace after what all I've done. You either think you're not worthy because your sin is too great, or either that it's too frequent for God's grace to cover it. You think that grace is for others, but not for you. Or maybe you're basing God's grace upon the way that humans give grace. I mean, often a human's grace is based upon their personal mood, often incomplete and late. Or perhaps you've come to believe that grace is something to be earned, that if you work hard enough for the kingdom, then you're going to earn it. Or you'll lose it. Grace, you're going to lose it if you don't work enough or give enough, rather than understanding that grace is a matter of your faith. Finished work of Christ on the cross. This message has a call to action. Earlier I said there were cards in your chair. Now you can take the card and you can write on the card and place it in the bucket on the high top table as you leave today to make it really easy, to make it really simple. But there's different ways to respond to this call of action, of calling the church, this body of people, God's kids. Today, maybe you've prayed in your heart as you've been listening, and you're saying, I still have a lot of questions. I'd like to have a pastor call me. That's going to be me, or that's going to be Pastor Jared, but we're going to call. So please put your name and your number on the card so we can do that, and we're going to start praying with you, and you can count on a call from us. Or maybe today you said, I prayed to accept Jesus into my heart. I want his grace. Write your name on the card and we'll be praying with you because you've accepted the free gift of God's grace. Or number three, I am, you are, all of you are believers in Jesus Christ. Today, you can write on your card that you thank God for his amazing grace, and that during this message, he reminded you that you need to extend that grace to others, just like God has shown it to you. The cards are confidential, but you'll put them in the bucket as you leave. The front chairs, there are always altars if you want to come and pray. You can sit in your chair and pray. You can turn your chair into an altar and pray. Pastor Jared and I are going to be in the back while our worship team plays music, and then I'll come back and close us. But grace, His grace, that He would hang on the cross, crucified for our sins, long before we ever said, "Yes, Lord." And He looked down and He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Have you surrendered? Do you need God's help to give grace to others? Let us pray. Father, we come to You today with hearts of gratitude. Jesus, this is a heavy message, heavy and also that of celebration, because we're so thankful for Your grace. And yet, Lord, there's been times in our lives, times, Lord, that we know that people have hurt us, and we just can't do it on our own. We just cannot extend what You asked us to do. So we ask You now, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would live in us and that You would give us that power to give grace that people have not earned or deserved, because I know I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it. But Your grace, God, is there for us. Please live in our heart. Help us to be the person, the people that You desire us to be. And forgive us for all the times, Lord, that we've hurt You and hurt others. We confess, God, that we've been tempted to do it on our own, to try really hard, to have great achievements. But today, Lord, we want to just give it to You as an offering. We want to take our stuff and give it to You so that we will experience freedom and rest that we can only find in You. God, please help us. Help us, God, in these times that are impossible. In these times, God, of people acting weird and doing stuff and everything that's in our world, God, help us to represent You well. Help us to live out Your love. Help us to be the hands and feet of Christ. Holy Spirit, give us the power to receive this truth and a heart that hears, and God, obedience. Help us, help me to be an agent of Your grace to all people. And we admit we cannot do this by ourselves. We can only do it by the filling of Your Holy Spirit. We love You, Lord, and we ask these things, Jesus, in Your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.